the Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York. This is Farm and Country. I'm your host, Kimberly Izar. Happy Saturday. It is March 14th. Well, we have a very fun show today with a fun name, and that's because Rosie Starr recently visited a monthly craft group in Damascus called Stitch and Bitch. Yes, Stitch and Bitch. It's a meetup where folks come together to sew, craft, and connect with their neighbors. Rosie spoke with some of the members and brings us into the fun. Dormant to Dazzling, the seasonal journey of flower bulbs. That's the name of just one of the sessions at Ulster County's Master Gardener's annual Garden Day. We chat with Barbara Bravo about bringing together horticulturists and garden lovers for the event in April. Plus, Keith Hubbard's latest Star Talk report. But first, news from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. Iran continues to launch missile and drone strikes across the Gulf region. The attacks are part of the growing conflict led by the United States and Israel. The BBC's Electra Naismith reports the Palestinian group Hamas is calling on its ally, Iran, to stop attacking neighboring countries.
The statement is a rare rebuke from Hamas of its main ally and sponsor. While it affirmed Iran's right to respond to attacks, it called on Tehran to stop targeting its neighbors. It's a significant development and highlights Hamas's tricky position. Tehran provides significant financial and military support to the group, which is in turn a key part of Iran's network of regional proxies. But Turkey is also a major backer, as is Qatar. Both have come under Iranian attack. Hamas said Israel was trying to sow discord among its Islamic neighbors.
That's the BBC's Electra Naismith reporting. Iran is warning residents to leave areas near the airports in Dubai and Abu Dhabi. The White House is investigating the possibility of imposing tariffs on goods from 60 economies. This is the second set of investigations the administration has announced this week under a statute meant to combat unfair trading practices. NPR's Danielle Kurtzleben reports.
The 60 economies will be investigated specifically related to forced labor. Not necessarily the practice itself, but to what degree those foreign governments import goods produced with forced labor. Major trading partners, including China, the EU, and Mexico, are on the investigation list. Earlier this week, the administration announced investigations into those countries and others in relation to other trading practices. The White House is exploring these new tariffs after the Supreme Court last month found many of Trump's tariffs to be unconstitutional. The investigations can take months to complete. The U.S. Trade Representative will hold hearings on these new investigations in a month and a half. Danielle Kurtzleben, NPR News.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement continues buying warehouses across the country for new detention centers. Macy Lipkin from member station KUER reports on a new ICE facility coming to Salt Lake City.
ICE paid $145 million this week for a warehouse near Salt Lake City International Airport. The agency confirmed that this is part of its detention expansion. Local Democratic leaders oppose the center, and some communities around the country have successfully blocked the projects. But in 2024, Republican Governor Spencer Cox said he would like the state to have one. ICE says their sites undergo community impact studies to make sure there's no hardship on local infrastructure. But Salt Lake City Mayor Aaron Mendenhall says a detention center would be, quote, wholly outside the scope of our available resources and zoning allowances. For NPR News, I'm Macy Lipkin in Ogden, Utah.
This is NPR News.
This is Radio Catskill. I'm Kimberly Izar. Energy affordability is one of the most closely watched issues in this year's New York State budget. Assemblymember Paula Kay, who represents Sullivan and Orange counties in the 100th Assembly District, says addressing high utility bills is one of her biggest priorities.
Every single day we get calls and people walking in. And last week I did a town hall pop-up in Narrowsburg and probably about 22 people came in with their electric bills, which were just horrifying.
Kay is one of 17 upstate Democratic Assembly members who urged Governor Hochul in a letter to address the energy affordability crisis through a package of bill reforms. It includes returning bill credits to New Yorkers for unused clean energy funds and streamlining energy affordability initiatives by creating a new state office focused on energy and equity.
While Governor Hochul says she plans to reassess the state's climate goals, Assemblymember Kay says how potential climate law rollbacks could translate into the budget has not been a focus.
I know people believe that that is part of what is being negotiated, but again, as of today, and that could change as of tomorrow, there's been no discussion. What has been discussed is the affordability, how we deal with these exorbitant rate cases and handle the utilities and make sure that the utilities give us what we deserve, which is a stable infrastructure that supports our current use and future use of electric power.
The state budget is due on April 1st. This is Radio Catskill.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. And the Public Welfare Foundation, committed to advancing transformative youth and criminal justice reforms.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Farm Arts Collective, located on Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania. Farm Arts Collective's programs intersect the practices of farming, performance, food, and ecology. FarmArtsCollective.org. From the Community Foundation of Orange, Sullivan, and Rockland, a publicly supported philanthropic institution. Information at CFOSRNY.org. And from listeners like you, who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Welcome back to Farming Country. I'm Kimberly Izar. So a few weeks ago, Farming Country contributor Rosie Starr told me and our producer Ronald about this regular craft meetup that happens in Damascus, Pennsylvania, with an awesome name, Stitch and Bitch. Yes, that is right, Stitch and Bitch. And I have mentioned here before that I've been learning how to knit myself this year. It's been an extremely slow process, but it's coming along. And so we knew this was something we wanted to learn more about. Here is Rosie with that report.
For Radio Catskill, this is Rosie Starr. Many of us in the Upper Delaware community know that this was a long, cold, snowy winter, but it gave me opportunity to mend buttons on favorite shirts and catch up on podcasts while threading the needle and sewing the buttons. Back in February, the name of a social event posting, do I dare say the word on the radio? Stitch and Bitch, caught my attention. Turns out, it's an event that takes place on the first Monday of every month at the Damascus Manor Community Center in Wayne County, Pennsylvania. It felt like an activity that would bring the community together in a creative, neighborly fashion. So I reached out to the program coordinator and asked if I could attend to find out more and meet some participating community members. Let's find out what's keeping their hands busy on this early March Monday evening. When I approached the activity table, Christopher was happy to share his thoughts and removed his earbuds. He loves country music and his favorite gray hat that he's repairing with black felt.
So I am patching up an old hat right now. I found it in my stuff when I moved back home, and I noticed it had a hole in it. So I was like, hey, I learned how to sew as a kid. I could probably work some magic here. And what do you know? It's coming along quite nice. It's a Carhartt hat. It's a knit beanie, a standard winter hat, you know. And I love Carhartt because they're a working man's brand. You know, they're pretty heavy duty, hard to beat up. So I wonder how this one got a hole. But yeah, it's nice and warm, and I do a lot of work outside, so it's good to have a good hat.
Susan, it looks like you're knitting something.
I'm crocheting a scarf for my daughter. A moss stitch. My daughter picked out the yarn, and I'm crocheting it for her. And I'm about a third done. She wanted to be neutral, so that's what I'm doing for her. Ray Han actually taught me how to do it. And she told me that you have to do it very loosely, so that's what I try to do. And it's pretty even. And it's for my daughter, so if there's an error here and there, she won't care.
Yeah. Paula. It looks like you're starting a project.
Yeah, I'm starting a project. It'll be a beanie. You know, I'm going to just make it long enough that then I can tie it up at the top, cinch it, and you know, just make a beanie, a very simple one. I am using a crochet hook. This is a chunky yarn, so I have a bigger crochet hook, 9mm. It's like a chenille type of wool. And so I thought I'd like this kind of on my forehead, you know, when you're wearing a beanie. So I like bringing a very simple project here that I don't really have to worry too much about my stitch count. And if I'm off by a stitch or two, it doesn't matter, especially if it's just for me.
Laura, you're starting a project here. And what are you working on?
One of my 2026 goals is to learn how to crochet. And so I'm very beginner. I'm just learning how to do the chain. And Paula knows how to do this much better than I do. So she's teaching me her tricks. Nowadays, all the grandmas knows how to sew. Probably when I'm a grandma, my generation is not going to know how to do this. So I think the new generation needs to learn those tricks.
Rianne's project has some challenges, but it's a labor of love.
First time making this pattern. It's called a ripple stitch. And my niece is having her first child. And regardless of gender, it's a beach theme nursery. I've finished the brown for the sand. I've added some white in between here and there for a ripple, and I'm starting the water now. And now I'm ready to change the yarn again to white to do one more ripple in the light blue, and then I'll go down to the dark blue. And then we'll have a starfish and a few turtles going from the sand into the water, and then two dolphins at the top.
Tell us tonight, Henny, on this cold night, what is it that you're working on?
I like upcycling blue jeans. They have the fabric is incredible. I can't sew a straight seam, so I'm deconstructing it and going to try to do better next time. But this is a kind of a funky idea that I got off of Facebook. It's a placemat, and you use the rear end pocket to put the utensils in. I think it's kind of humorous, so that appeals to me. But I'm remembering of Levi Strauss. I guess it's an old Western. I really don't know the origin of it. I think it's interesting that he was making these jeans, and it's incredibly popular still. Denim, blue jeans is the thing. You can take a placemat that you have in your drawer and just use it as a pattern. I have made a couple for myself, but I have grandchildren.
Thank you.
Thanks for talking to me.
Michael Paoletta, host and moderator, was focused on his circular knitting needles.
This group started last year at the Damascus Manor Community Center. For me, it was a way to kind of bring people together on a monthly basis to find out who in the community was and or is into crafting. And we'd like to come together once a month for a get-together where we can work on our latest projects, whether it be knitting or crocheting, needlepoint, sewing, mending a garment of yours that might need mending, just whatever keeps your hands busy and going. And then creating community and bringing people together and, you know, having people come here. And while we're working on our craft, we're also talking with each other. Sometimes it's a bigger discussion. Sometimes it's, you know, one-on-one or three of us are having a little conversation. But it's really about community and just building community and, you know, having a welcoming monthly group, one that's inviting and one that is just for all. Everything is coming from the heart, made with love, and it just kind of permeates the whole feeling here. And there are many skill sets here. So I've been knitting for several years, but you wouldn't know it because I've been working on this same sweater for myself for about 6 years. No joke. I've also made numerous knit hats for friends during the winter months and other projects, but this is just a long-term project.
Linda Dexter loves spinning naturally colorful alpaca yarn sourced from a local wool festival.
Some people spin yarn and tell stories, right? Well, I can do that too, but this I'm actually spinning and making some yarn. when you're sitting at the wheel, you're just feeding the fleece into it. It's called roving at this stage. Mm. It's already prepared, ready to go on to the wheel. And you just pedal, the wheel goes around, your plants twists it, and I'm pumping with my feet here. It's a double treadle wheel. It's twisting it, and it's also pulling it out of my hands. So I'm controlling it that way. And then it goes in and goes onto what's called a bobbin. Everything has a name to it on the wheel. But it goes onto the bobbin, and that collects all the yarn. And at this point, it's called a single ply. It's just one piece of yarn. But I'm going to do this. My yarn will actually look, I'm going to put two yarns together, twist it, and then you can see what my actual final yarn will look like. See? And I like this. The colors on this are a fuchsia and a real pretty olive green and a light beige. I like those colors together. I think they'll make, I'll probably have enough when I get done to do a scarf or a little hat, something like that. You know, these colors kind of fit my color scheme of coats and jackets that I have.
Elizabeth Green was inspired to knit a cranberry red Norwegian style hat and appreciates the group support.
We were comparing stitches and talking about the European and the American method of knitting. My mom, when I was a little girl, taught me to knit. And then I haven't done it for a long time. And I really wanted to get back in knitting. And so this became my project. I love woolen hats, and I just wanted to get back into it.
Stitchin' Bitch is just one of the organized, productive activities taking place at the Damascus Manor Community Center on Conklin Hill Road in Wayne County. Their Facebook page and website has more information. Visit pa-dmcc.org. This is Rosie Starr for Radio Catskill.
Thanks to Rosie for bringing us in on the fun. Well, you know what time it is. This week's Star Talk Report from Keith Hubbard.
Farm and Country. I'm Keith Hubbard, and this is Star Talk. At 10:46 a.m. on Friday, the sun will cross the celestial equator from south to north, marking the start of spring. This event is known as the vernal equinox. The equinox marks the midpoint between the sun's lowest path across the sky and the sun's highest path across the sky. Track the location of the sun at noon over the coming weeks and months, and you will see the arc of the sun moving northward. The date of Easter is determined by the vernal equinox. Easter falls on the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox, which will be Sunday, April 5th this year. There are a few interesting things that occur during an equinox. The sun will rise due east, will set due west, and will be directly overhead at the equator at noon. The vernal equinox is a perfect day to determine due east or due west from your yard. The point where the sun meets the horizon at sunrise or sunset will be due east or due west. Also, the length of day and night are nearly equal on the equinox. On Friday, we will see 12 hours and 9 minutes of daylight. With the sun on a northern trajectory in the sky, the sunrises will be coming earlier in the day, and the sunsets will be coming later in the day. The sun will continue to move north in the sky until late June, at which time it will reverse direction and head south. Friday will be the vernal equinox and the start of spring. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future Star Talk segments, my email address is startalk@farmandcountry.org. For Farm and Country and Star Talk, this has been Keith Hubbard reminding you to keep looking up.
Thanks to Keith for that report. We'll take a short break, but when we come back, the annual Garden Day with Ulster County's Master Gardeners Program. Stay with us.
Support comes from Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, fighting for clean air, land, and water since 2008, both locally and beyond. Information online at their Main Street storefront in Narrowsburg or their office in the Narrowsburg Union. DamascusCitizens.org.
Looking for things to do? Check out Radio Catskills Community Calendar. Find out what's happening or submit your own event. The Community Calendar at WJFFradio.org.
Welcome back to Farming Country. I'm Kimberly Izar. All right, so this past week, we have been blessed with a few incredible days of warm weather. And I don't know about you, but those days for me are just absolutely glorious. I took like an over hour plus long walk just along the lake. Everything smelled so fresh. I feel like the sunsets were even more stunning once the weather starts warming up. And I am having my fingers crossed right now that maybe that means that we're closer to spring. And I know that for some, the warm weather means more time in their gardens. On April 11th, Ulster County Cornell Cooperative Extension's Master Gardeners will host its annual Garden Day. Joining me on the phone now to share more about Garden Day 2026 is Barbara Bravo. She's the Master Gardener Volunteer and Garden Day Coordinator. Barbara, welcome back to Farming Country.
Hi, Kim. This is great. I'm so happy that you could give me the time so I can let you know all about our program.
Well, you know, you, as we talked about, you've been on Farming Country before. Let's start with some reminders for folks just about what the Master Gardeners program is at the Ulster County Cornell Cooperative Extension.
I'd be happy to. So the Master Gardener volunteers, we are trained by professors, other Master Gardeners who are more knowledgeable, and other professionals on occasion. And we are science-based, so all the information that we learn really is rooted in science, and we consider that the best kind of information that we can share. And that is really our mission. Our mission is to share the information that we have, answer questions, help guide people through various gardening processes. So we're really rooted in horticulture. And we do all kinds of things. We talk about landscape design. We talk about soil. We talk about composting. Anything that has to do with soil and growing would be our department. And we love doing it. I've been a Master Gardener for 20 years.
Wow. I mean, 20 years as a Master Gardener yourself, I'm curious just what about gardening excites you and brings you the most joy?
It's ever-changing. And when you garden, particularly about landscaping, I always look at that as a partnership with nature, and that nature will also have input, you know, so I can't really say this is exactly the way it's going to be, because nature then it comes in and says, oh, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So it's an ever-changing, it's sort of, it's like a living sculpture to me. And then other kinds of gardening, vegetable gardening, what's better than growing your own food and going out, picking it, bringing it in and eating it? You know, it's the freshest food you can ever access.
And I also think that gardening, especially where we are in the country, is especially probably gratifying because it's so seasonal. So as you described, it is so ever-changing and evolving constantly. Well, the Master Gardeners are going to be hosting its 2026 Garden Day on April 11th at SUNY Ulster. Tell me a little bit about what the day is going to look like and what folks can expect.
You know, in my opinion, it is a fabulous day. I mean, all these gardeners come out. We offer classes. We're going to be offering 16 classes on 16 different topics, and we break up the day. We have early registration starting at 8:30 in the morning, and then we have a keynote speaker, and we are so excited this year because we have Kim Ironman. And she has a business called Echo Beneficial, but she is also an instructor at the New York Botanical Gardens, and she does speaking engagements all around the U.S. and Canada. And she's an author. She's recently published a book, The Pollinator Victory Garden, Win the War on Pollinator Decline with Ecological Gardening. And that's going to be the topic she'll be speaking on. So we kick off the day with this dynamic keynote speaker, and then we dive right into the classes. Everybody gets to choose four. You take two classes in the morning. We have a great lunch break with a marketplace where we have all these tempting things that you'll want in your garden, including live plant material.
That is where you will find me shopping.
Exactly. And ornaments for the garden. And we're going to have the Resource Recovery Agency there selling compost bins and rain barrels. So, you know, it's really, it's just like a fun packed day. Then after lunch and after you've filled up on all those goodies, we have two more sessions in the afternoon. So we wrap up the day at around 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, definitely, it's going to be a fun, packed, and as you described, fabulous day I'm anticipating. Do you want to let folks know how they can register and find more information?
Yes, registration is only online, and the URL for that is ulster.cce.cornell.edu/GardenDay2026. If you go to that link, it will take you right to the page where you can read about all the things that we'll be doing, see all the classes that we're offering. You get to sign up, as I mentioned, for 4 classes out of 16. And if you want to purchase lunch, you can do that when you register. The cost for the day is $60. And if you want to add lunch on, it's another $13. So you can get everything for $73, and you do it all online. There'll be lots of descriptions about the class contents. So you kind of see, oh, well, look at this person. I'm looking at one right now who does the vegetable gardening session, and it's called From Seed to Harvest. So this is going to be a great introductory class for people who are just starting out growing their own food. And Skip is Master Gardener Volunteer, but he's also a farmer, small farmer, right here in Ulster County. So, you know, he's the guy that you want to really talk to learn how to grow good things in your garden.
April 1st is the deadline for the Garden Day. The 2026 Garden Day Create and Cultivate is going to be on April 11th, though, Saturday from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., and that'll be at SUNY Ulster in Stone Ridge. More information, as Barbara described, at ulster.cce.cornell.edu/GardenDay2026. Barbara, thank you again so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. I love talking about gardening and Garden Day.
Before we wrap up, a few events from our community calendar. Monday, March 16th, Penn State Extension will host a virtual webinar on water law basics for farmers. That'll be at 12 p.m. on Monday. On Thursday, March 19th, the Sullivan County Audubon Society is hosting their spring meeting. Are Blue Jays Really Blue? They'll have a presentation on bird feathers and learning to identify birds by their colors. That'll be at 6 p.m. at the Cornell Cooperative Extension office in Liberty. Also, we're going to have the Audubon Society on Farm and Country later this month, so definitely tune in for that. You can always find more information on all of these events and more at wjffradio.org. And that's all for this week's show. This show was produced by the Radio Catskill editorial team and post-production by Ronald Kelson. Stick around. Up next, it's Catskill Character with the one and only Donna Fellenberg. You are listening to Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, and NPR. I'll catch you next week.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Morgan Outdoors, celebrating 20 years as a local source for hiking, snowshoeing, and discovering the great outdoors. On Main Street in Hurleyville, near the rail trail, morgan-outdoors.com.
On last week's Wait, Wait, Nagin Farsab was excited about this new trend of men online being obsessed.